Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Lemus de Marín. Que Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente y usando.
Thank you very much, Missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin. May God continue to bless you greatly and use you powerfully in the work of God in this end time. And may you continue to be of a light for all the brethren, both ministers as church brethren in the different countries. And as he told us, it was truly a great blessing to be able to be with all the brethren in different countries, and to have these activities which were of a great blessing for the brethren and the whole divine program, because of all the word that God gave us. God is fulfilling what He promised, and He is fulfilling it as He said that He would fulfill it. Not as the people think or long for, but as it is in the divine program. And that will not fail. We have also heard the Reverend Andres Cruz Gallegos about the activity that will be held in Villahermosa, Mexico on January 12th. Of this upcoming year 2025, where we expect great blessings from God. And on February 9th, also there in Bogotá, in Soacha, Colombia, and also on March 23rd, there in Mexico City at the Plaza de Toros, and in some other place where we'll go. Perhaps it won't be announced. Perhaps we will arrive and we will be there that Sunday at that place. So be prepared in the places, because suddenly we may appear there and have that activity in some places. Remember that for him, he got to a point where he could no longer go around openly. But all of that is already being carried out and fulfilled. Each time, things will become more difficult. But the Lord, who started the good work, will perfect it and will help us at every moment. Mr. Francisco Guerra and his wife, Norma, are also with us. May God bless them. My friends, my brethren. They have said, or he was telling me that they thought that he was the person that I was referring to that time over there in Puebla. But no, it is not him. It is another lawyer who is against the divine program and the work of the ministry under the tent. It is someone else. It's not my friend, my brother, Mr. Francisco Guerra. He is faithfully in the word and in the work of God at this end time. And he stands hand in hand with the ministry under the tent. May God bless him greatly and the entire church there in Ciudad Victoria. And for the other brethren who are visiting us, may you all be welcome. And for everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, on this occasion, today, Sunday, December 1st of this year, 2024. This morning, God gave us something very important, where I began to record there in the office, because it was, I couldn't go out like I greet you there sometimes on Sunday morning, but instead I began to record myself right there. And there is something very important in everything that was discussed. Although it seemed like a simple scripture, a story that happened in the times of Jesus. But all of that contains something very, very big. The important thing is which side you are on. In the time of Jesus, the important thing was to be on Jesus' side, even if they did not understand and did not comprehend many things. That is why Jesus said to Peter, "What you don't understand now, you will understand later." Now, whose side are you on today, at this time? That is what matters. Even though you may not understand some things, God will continue to open your understanding, open the scriptures to you, so that you understand them. Let us search in the Gospel according to Mark. Also, our brother Enrique Garcia and his wife and family are also visiting us here. May God bless them greatly and continue to use them greatly in the work at this end time. There in Mark, chapter 11, verse 22 and on. Verse 20, which is where he starts reading. Because notice in verse 12, he was hungry. And they passed by a fig tree to take fruits and eat from it. But the fig tree had no fruit. It only had leaves. And there he cursed it. And notice in verse 20 it says, and in the morning as they passed by, notice the morning, on the morning of a new dispensational day, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Because on the new dispensational day is when the Son of Man comes with his angels to reward each one according to their works. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. There on verse 23, to the left he drew a star of David. Twice, because over here he draws it again. In other words, on that paragraph on verse 23, he draws two stars of David to the right. And here at the bottom he writes, fig tree equals Israel. Mountain equals kingdom, and in between parentheses, the kingdom of the Gentiles will be taken away, just like the one of Israel's was taken away. Fig tree equals Israel, mountain equals kingdom, the kingdom of the Gentiles will be taken away, just like the one of Israel was taken away. He goes on to say on verse 24, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And he draw another star of David to the right. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And he drew another star of David, there to the right. The manifestations of the power of God. You may please be seated. In the message, the great voice of the trumpet in the Exodus of the last day, preached on January 9, 2000, here in Puerto Rico. In other words, at the beginning of that year, our brother, Dr. William Soto Santiago, tells us, and at this end time, when Christ adopts His angel messenger, then we will see great wonders, signs, and miracles, as prophesied in the 10th vision. The same angel that accompanied the Reverend William Branham will be present there, and the same pillar of fire that accompanied him will be present there in the fulfillment of the 10th vision. And the five times that he saw the power of God manifested in all of its fullness, which were five demonstrations or examples that God gave us through the Reverend William Branham, that same power will be manifested in all of its fullness, speaking that creative word, to the extent that there won't be even a need to lay hands on the sick. In that study for that day, which was prepared for him, on the back of the study, there he lists all five. And notice, he writes, one, the little fish and its resurrection equals resurrected believers. And below he writes, Jesus resurrected Lazarus. Two, the storm equals power over nature. And there below he writes, God spoke through Moses, parted the Red Sea. And after that, Jesus rebuked the storm. And below the part about Moses, where it says, God spoke through Moses, parted the Red Sea, below says, and then the Jordan with Joshua. And then there on the side he writes, Jesus rebuked the storm. In other words, it was power over nature. Then he writes, three, the salvation of the sons of Hatti Wright. God saved Israel. He wrote that below, God saved Israel, Jesus saved every firstborn. Then he writes, four, the tumor in the ovary and her healing. He writes, Jesus healed the sick, and he did so for his apostles and other messengers, and he will do so today. Five, the creation of squirrels to be hunted and to be food. And he writes, when Moses, God gave the people bread and quails, and Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish twice. Now notice, those were the five manifestations. That is why he says, what you have seen partially, but notice, he showed it, although he had more manifestations, the Holy Spirit through our brother Branham, but this was the most important ones. And they were showing what would happen in all of its fullness at this end time. Now notice, our brother William continues to say, when that ministry of Christ, the angel of the covenant, is operating in that messenger that he will have at the last day, in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, he will have no need to lay hands on the sick. He won't even need to pray for the sick, but to speak the creative word, and things will come to pass. Now notice, if he says that he will have an instrument, that he will have a messenger that will do that. Well, Paul is already gone, Irenaeus is gone, Columba is gone, Luther is gone, Wesley is gone, Brother Branham is gone. God took our brother William as well. Well, there must be an instrument in which all of that will be fulfilled. Like a person. I think it was in Brazil. Which I was being told by the wife because the husband is not a believer. And he said to her, "Who is that guy talking? Is that William?" "No, William departed," she said. "And that's why I asked, because you had said that he had departed, that he departed. But what about him?" "Well, he's the one who is ministering now," she said that, to him. And he tells her, "Well, if William is gone, then there must be another one. He must be the one. And he's not a believer. Rather, he knows the scriptures." But notice, a person who is not a believer, let's say logically, if God takes a messenger, then there must be another one. And he told her, "Well, then he is the one." He told her, "Well, he is the one you're waiting for." Now notice, he goes on to say, he won't even need to pray for the sick, but to speak the creative word, and things will come to pass, because the third pool is the word being spoken. Now notice in this message, which is from this booklet that has excerpts from 56 to 65, from different messages where he spoke of the tenth vision. And on page 24, there is an excerpt of the message, "Speak to this mountain." And our brother Branham tells us here, "I said, is this the scripture that you're trying to get to me? Is this that other step that we're coming up to? You give me a vision and said it'd be confirmed in a little building somewhere in a meeting when the tents get started." I said, "Is this what it's leading to? If it is, Lord, then I'll take you by your word." I said, "And there shall come a young red squirrel and sit on that old naked limb out yonder, and I'll shoot him from right here." I said, "If this be my new ministry that's coming in, something greater, then he will finally confirm in that little building." There he was narrating about the squirrels. I said, "If the Lord was confirming my ministry there, to let me know that he's going to help his people and let me do it." I said, "Then the same Jehovah Jireh, I was in need of a squirrel the same as he was in need of a ram. And I believe Jehovah Jireh placed it there by his same spoken word." Same thing that happened with Abraham. Now notice, here he writes below, he lists them again. And he writes, "Squirrels created by the spoken word, dash, creation of food. The storm stopped." He wrote it in quotation marks to avoid writing "by the spoken word." In other words, ditto mark. "The storm stopped by the spoken word," and to the side, "control over nature." Now in each sentence, in each line at the end, he writes a scripture. At the beginning of the first line, he writes Revelation 11:3-14, 5:1-7, and 10:1-11. On the second line, the storm stopped, the little fish, resurrected. let me place here so that you can read it along with me. If you can take notes, then you do so also. While the study comes out. Let us see. One even becomes an expert taking pictures. There. Squirrels created by the spoken word. Creation of food. Revelation 11, 3-14. And 5:1-11 and 10:1-11. The storm stopped by the spoken word. Control over nature. Revelation 11, 3-5. Which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. There he also writes Mark 11, 22-24. I don't know if that scripture came out there. Yep. Then he writes, the little fish resurrected by the spoken word. And he writes, the resurrection. And there to the side, he writes, 1 Thessalonians 4, 12-17. And 1 Corinthians 15, 49-58. And 15, verse 20. Then, the tumor removed by the spoken word. See, everything is by the spoken word. Divine healing, Revelation 11, 3. In other words, divine healing, notice, comes through the two olive trees with healings held in his wings. The salvation of the two young men by the spoken word. And he writes there, call and salvation. And there he places Revelation 7, 1-17, 14, 1, and 12. That is of Revelation. That is the angel with the seal of the living God. Now, we talk about that in Argentina, in a chat that we had, where God showed us there how Sister Hattie Wright was given the opportunity to speak the word on behalf of her sons. She ministered in the most holy place. Just like the bride at this end time, by having the word, the title deed in her, the two-edged sword, she will be ministering on behalf of her relatives. And that work of the Book of the Ages on page 185, 186, 187, where it tells us about the bride, which tells us about that work he left in particular. Notice, it's such an important work that the church bride would be carrying out at the end time, which is the work of ministering in the most holy place. Now notice that the high priest was the only one ministering in the most holy place by one person. Now, by being placed in the most holy place of the spiritual temple, which is the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom, there the elect of God, by them also having the title deed, that gives them the right to carry out a work that was not carried out at any other time. Not even in the time of Adam. Adam did not get to eat the book. he did not go as far as eating of the tree of life. Now, that is something so great that perhaps our minds cannot extend that far or fails to internalize the greatness of the meaning of that for each elect of God, and the greatness that God and the great work that God is carrying out today. We're back in Eden, and there were some characters, and there was an action that had to be carried out, and it was to eat from one of the two trees, from one of those two trees, either from the tree of life or from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We are facing that again. Which tree are you eating from today? Now, notice. He continues to say, you will find that in the cases that they came to be an example of what will happen in the last day in this full manifestation of God, you will find that in the five examples that the Reverend William Branham gave us, as samples of that full manifestation of the power of God in the fulfillment of the third pool, you will find out that on none of those occasions, the Reverend William Branham, on none of those occasions, he prayed for healing or for creation nor for the resurrection of the little fish. Now notice here on this study, it is also the message, Spirit of Truth, and he tells us about one of those manifestations, the one of the little fish. Notice what he says there. Brother Lyle, Brother Banks, was fishing with a reeling pole, great big hook, and a big bunch of worms on. He let that little old bluegill swallow that hook plumb down in his little belly. And when he pulled him up, he said, now, I wish you'd look at there. Just about that long. And he couldn't take the hook out, I guess. No other way, just cut the string off. And he wanted to save his hook. So he pulled gills. In other words, he tore out all of the inner parts when he grabbed the fish and pulled to take the hook. He says, belly and all, out of him, like that, and throw him over on the water. In other words, with that, imagine the fish was already. And there is where he says, and he quivered three or four times and just laid there. He laid there floating like that. He said, Brother Renhan's friends there, you shot your last wad, little fellow. And I said, Lyle, when he starts to bite, get a smaller hook than that. When he starts to bite, take this fly rod laying here, and just as he starts to bite, catch him, see? Before he gets it in and swallowed it, catch it in his mouth. I said, that's the sport of catching them. He's teaching him how to fish. And he said, I'd make the wrong pull, and he just went ahead. And he tried a few times, and while all this was going on, the little fish was floating there, near the boat. Floating next to the boat. And missed about three or four. And he laid the thing down, said, I'll just let him swallow it again. So, this little fish floated around on the water there for a while, or I guess 30 minutes. He underlines 30 minutes. And the waves began to get up and come in. I said, well, we'll have to leave pretty soon. We got a bucket now, so we'll have to leave. And I raced up to throw it back over on some little pads to jerk it off. There was some of the big red belly back there. So I started, pulled the bait of the pad, you know, flipped it over on the pad and jerked it off, as you fellow and women know about fishing. And when I started to do that, all of a sudden, something came down through the hills, just like a wind pouring, and it went upon me. Now notice, let us stop here for a moment. In the book of quotations, on page 6A, of which we spoke something about yesterday. In other places, referring to this as well. Paragraph 63 says, I believe it's coming to a time where, Paul said, where there is prophecies, it shall fail. Where there is tongues, they shall cease. I believe it's coming to a time till when the saints will get together like this, and just a love spirit will just sweep over the audience and just every person in there. Notice what at this end time is promised for that church, of which the Reverend William Branham felt something come down there. Now, remember when he spoke in a portion of the book of quotations which says, watch the resurrection, how it moves. Now, he goes on to say, now in order to carry out that, there has to be love. And that is divine love, not filial love, but divine love. Page 12, where he tells us, which we quoted from memory, paragraph 96. Now, it's written between the lines lots of times. When we get our big tent up, out here somewhere, we'll take plenty of time and go through them in between the lines. Watch the resurrection thing, how it moves in there. In other words, all that which was spoken will be carried out in the midst of the people of God, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, which we are in that time, and all that is being carried out. But remember that it is in a progressive way. Now he says, and just a love spirit will just sweep over the audience, and just every person in there, all that's wrong will be taken out. He'll be such a presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe gifts are wonderful and we need them and respect them. But I believe the time is coming when it's going to be on a higher standard than that. And he drew a cornerstone and the ages, the arrow towards the cornerstone, and he writes divine love. Why, after all these things is done away, that which is love will endure forever. See? It's the love of God. We'll just be standing, preaching like this, or talking, and just the love will just settle over the building. And now how? By speaking the word. Notice, standing preaching like this, or talking, and just the love will just settle over the building. And he writes, divine love, gifts will be taken away. And above he writes, rapturing faith, when that which is perfect comes, equals love. May there be no unbelief among the people. Now notice, he says, and when I started to do that, all of a sudden something came down through them hills, just like a wind pouring, and it went upon me. I dropped a pole and stood up in the boat, and I looked around, and I heard a voice say, "You see that little fish?" And there he was, laying there. I said, "You see the little fish?" In other words, he repeated what he heard. Now, there you are seeing the way in which prophets speak. They hear from that dimension and convey to the people what they hear. That will be experienced by each elect. They will have also the "Thus saith the Lord" in their mouth. And whatever a child of God speaks, God will fulfill that, no matter what it is. But remember, that is always in the perfect will of God. They will be gods, says the scripture. "Said I not unto you, ye are gods?" Now notice. I said, "You see the little fish?" Just as he said it, there his little fins was stiffened out, and he was laid on the water for half an hour. And this Bible is laying open now, see? And he said, "Speak to him and give him back his life." Well, what is Brother Branham going to do? Well, speak it. Speak what the angel is telling him. There to the side he writes, "The little fish equals the believers, the church bride. Speak to him and give him back his life." The little fish equals the believers, the church bride. Speak to him and give him back his life. Did not he say in John chapter 5, verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And there he draws a Star of David to the right. Now notice, there he says, and I said, "Little fishy, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I give you back your life." And those men standing watching, that little fish turned over on his back and down through the water he went. They like fainted. Lyle washed his face in water. He said, "I'll wake up after a while." In other words, he said, "This is either a dream or did I fall asleep?" He said, "I know I'm dreaming." I said, "You're not dreaming." Will that not happen when they come back? Hey, but what are you doing here? Let me see. Are you sure that I'm seeing right? Could I be dreaming? Look, do what Brother Branham did when he went over there. He pinched himself. Ouch! he would feel. We will have to pinch ourselves there a few times, because it will be something that humanly, although we know the promises and we know what will happen, but it will be such a big surprise to see those young people around. In other words, here, it was something inconceivable what this brother saw, being aware that he had torn out all the inner parts and the whole thing out, and to see the little fish move after hearing the voice of the prophet. And right on the same time, I guess I had on prayer list 30 or 40 spastic children. There he keeps on speaking, and how God would go around from them spastic children and bring up that little fish. It just goes to show that he's interested in everything. Now notice, our brother William goes on to say here, he spoke the word that it be resurrected, that it come back to life. And he came back to life. There is another place also where he refers to this resurrection of this little fish, where those five manifestations were also listed for him. And that part of the resurrection of the little fish, he writes above, Christians who are dead in Christ of this time, and those of the seven ages, and of the apostles. Now, he goes on to say, he goes there to the next one, he says, he spoke the word to the storm, for the winds to go back to their place, and they went back to their place. For the salvation of the sons of Sister Hattie Wright, he's going now to the third one, he spoke the creative word, saying, I give them to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were saved. And in the healing, there is the fourth one. And in the healing of Sister Branham of the tumor that was in an ovary, when she went to be examined to be operated on, for they were already in those procedures, and it was time for her to be operated on. God showed him everything when he prayed for her, despite being at a distance from one state to another. She was in Tucson, Arizona, and he was in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Now notice, we were going to read it perhaps either in the afternoon or in another message. But I brought it with me, and since I brought it with me, let us read it. This morning we were reading in this message. But notice, this part draws our attention, where our brother Branham follows the recommendations of the doctor. And anyone can say, but he is a man who is being used by God. He can remove it by praying. Pray to God and remove his wife's tumor. Why does he send her to be operated on? And in this message, he tells us about this, and let us read it. On page 43 of the message, Taking Sides with Jesus, there on paragraph 252, it says, very well. They seen they couldn't get anywhere with him. So, you know, the next thing they had to do to try to get him off the field. That was after what he was reading about the woman who washed his feet and the man he healed. healed his sight. And Brother Branham says, now they are going to try something else. The enemy is stubborn. To try to get him off the field. They went and said to his brethren and his mother, you know, he is awful tired. You should take him off to one side for a while. That bunch of hypocrites. They wanted to get rid of him. It wasn't that they thought he was so tired. They liked for him to work himself to death. But every time he went out, the miracles started pouring. The word of God went forth. Wouldn't I like to hear him stand up there that day on the seacoast when he called Simon Peter and said, follow me. Brother Branham is saying this. Would I like to go on a chunk and sit down there, left my net and left my fishing pole, Brother Case, and sit down there, lean back against a chunk and listen to him preach when he got in the boat? Oh my, my. Would I love to have heard him when he said that, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Amen. I'd like to hear him say it. They tried to get his mother and them to take him off the field. They said, well, you know, he's overworked. I believe you better get him off that way. Anyway, thing, to get rid of him. That's all they wanted. Yes, sir. Again, the many that went with him just to find a place to trap him. Did you know that? People followed right along with him just to find a place. They gave him one day a penny and they said, Rabbi, before they gave him the penny, he said, Rabbi, we're Jews. We know you're a great man of God. Oh, that hypocrite. See, yeah, we know you're a great man of God. Yes, sir, Rabbi. They was walking right along with him. Oh, good morning, brother. Oh, we're so happy you're over here in our country. Oh, we're so glad to see you. We are really for you teeth and toenail. Brother, if you're going to have a revival, we even might cooperate with you. See? What they were trying to do is set a trap for him. See? Now, remember, quote, 10:04? They said, we know that thou art a great man of God. You don't fear favor of no man. You fear nothing but God. We know that you're bold. Oh, you're fearless with your message. We know you're a great prophet, because no man could do like that and be fearless with his message in a day like this, unless he was a prophet of God, knows where he is standing. So we know you don't respect person, no man. Rabbi, you're a great man. We're Jews. We're right with you, brother. We sure are. Now, Rabbi, it is right to pay tribute to Caesar? Oh, that bunch of hypocrites. Wait, the Holy Spirit was with him. He was the Holy Spirit, see? He said, you got a penny? Say, oh, yes, yes, yeah. I got a penny here. Yeah, I do. Said, hand it to me. Said, whose inscription is on that? Said, Caesar. Said, then give Caesar what's Caesar, God's what is God's. Setting a trap for him, professing to be his friends. Seemed like no one could understand him. They would travel with him a little while, then get disgusted with him and leave. They would say, oh, well, we thought surely, even the disciples said, we thought surely this was he that was going to three dots. Till even John sent out, ask him, are you he, or do we look for another? See, oh, what a life he must have lived, see, and knowing that. But he had one purpose, to do the work of God. Many went with him just to find a place to trap him. Now, I hope it's not sacrilegious if I say it's the same today. There he writes the same today. He wrote that to the right. Many come in and follow the meetings just to find a place. See, you pray for somebody. Here not long ago, a certain sister that goes to this church was at another church where God was making everything happen. And this sister said to the other sister, said, you know, that man that could pray for the sick, said, must have a very victorious life. And said, he must just be able, his family, everything, be healed at a spoken word, like that. And the other lady happened to be from Jeffersonville. And I'm sure that nobody has to know but what Jesus said among your own people. You know, your country. That's right. That's the reason I, three dots. It may be that right now, coming close, it may be a change of time, you see? And he continues narrating and saying, and he said, you know what? Said, no one of his kids, that is Brother Branham's kid, this is that woman speaking, not one of his kids can have a sniffle lest he takes it to a doctor. A pure, degraded, deluded thing like that, see? See? A woman that just wanted to throw off. Said, when his children get sick, he takes them to a doctor. Brother Branham says, he continues to say, anybody that's sensible will do the same thing. Yeah, people can't understand that medicine is sent of God. Why, brethren, if it is not, it is of the devil. Sure it is. God is where medicine won't reach. Certainly. Medicine is of God. Well, you say, I know a lot of doctors just, oh yes, and I know a lot of preachers in the same way too. It's not the man that's handling it, it's what it is. I know a many men is handling the word of God. Don't believe in divine healing. Don't even believe in God, right? But they handle it just the same. There is many of men out there with medicine and surgery and stuff that denies God and everything else. But there is many one that believe him too. So if it helps people, it's of God. I don't have to take that car and ride it home tonight. I can walk if I wanted to, but God made me a car. So I thank God for it. All these things come from God. But use them sensibly. Don't go insane with them, see? The same thing, so that's it, you see? Just trying to find something to this young convert to blight their name. The name of the works of God, see? They wanted to blight it. Every time a child gets sick, one of his children, he takes them to a doctor. He repeats what the sister said. Sure, I would. Then if the doctor can't, I'll ask God to help before I go there. Then if the doctor can't do nothing about it, then I'll take him up a little higher. Now, that is a perfect faith. That's rapturing faith. Then I'll take him up a little higher. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes, sir. Oh, just the same today. They're trying to find a trap somewhere. He knew them, but notice, he never rebuked them. He went right with them. Mm-hmm. He does the same thing now. He goes right along with them, shows them his mercy, that's right. Though they do altogether against him. Why? Because he loves them, and he went with them. But they're always ready to call on him in a case of emergency. They want him then. They want three dots. They'll make fun of somebody of shouting. They'll make fun of somebody preaching divine healing. Say they don't believe in it. They just haven't got sick enough yet. I've heard a many one. Because once something happens to them and they get sick, right away, they seek God right away. Pray for me. A woman dying just as I run up the steps when I was preaching right there, and the man standing right there at the door calling to me. She had walked by, she lived up the street here and had a cow out there, and she said, if my cow got that kind of religion that Billy's got, I would kill the cow. In less than an hour from then, she was stricken and taken to the hospital, a beautiful young woman. And I rushed out there. Her husband was Catholic, and they sent for me. She's dying, and her eyes went to swelling out. She said, call him, call him, call him, call him, quickly, quickly. And her brother ran up and stood there at the door and waited, and he kept motioning for me, that is there in the tabernacle. And the place was packed full of people. And after a while, somebody come around and put a note on the desk here and said, someone is dying in the hospital. And I believe Brother Granham Snelling, I said, take my place till I go. And he would just stand up and lead singing. He wasn't even called to preach at that time. He came up to lead singing. And I went out and got in my car and rushed out there. And I just, as I got up the steps, she drew out her last breath. And of course, the bowels and kidneys, everything act. And I run in there, and they done covered her face up, and steam coming up around like that. And that old nurse standing there, she said, Brother Branham, she screamed her last breath for you, trying to make it right, but it was too late then. Book of the Seals, page 424, 425. Where they came, notice, repented, but they had already spurned God's mercy for the last time. And he says there, they had been in meetings like this. You see, you can sin one time too many, you know. And she, kind of deep in her face, she had auburn hair, a really pretty woman, and her bob hair was all bushed out. Great big brown eyes had pushed out and just half closed. And the freckles on her face had got in such a way, such a strain, till they just stood on out like little bumps all over her face. And her mouth was open. And I walked over there and looked at her. And there her husband stood there and said, Billy, here is what it was. Said, I am Catholic. I want you to say a prayer for her because she's gone to the purgatory. I said, what? Said, say a prayer for her. Said, she's gone to a purgatory. She passed by your church about 2 hours ago and said, if our cow ever got your kind of religion, she would kill the cow. Said, say a prayer for her. I said, that's too late. She should have purged her soul here. Not till she gets somewhere else. See? That's right. Oh, yes. But we always want him in the time of distress. People, I've heard them say, I don't believe in God. Let him hurt himself right bad once, see the first one he'll call on. Even his disciples, one time when they were in a storm, though when they saw him, they were a little bit afraid of him. They didn't know just exactly what it was. They said, it's a spirit. And they cried out. But yet, all hopes for being saved was gone, so they invited him in, yep. There always, whether you're a little suspicious or not, when all hope is gone, you like to invite him in, yep. They took him in, because they had a need of him, that's right. You know, I've often wondered sometime, maybe that's why the storm comes on. Did you ever think of that? He sat up there and watched them till they had need of him. And then he come on the scene. So we can see our needs of him now. We see that the storm is coming, brother. Let's take sides with him tonight. Take sides with his word. I quit here. Let's take sides with him. Let us, you and I, brethren, join up with him tonight. The storm is coming. And don't wait till the little boat is sunk. Let us take him into our little bark now. you might look off and say, I can't understand all these things, Brother Branham. See if we say anything but what's in the Word. See if there is anything there but what He promised to do. It might look a little spooky to you sometime. You think, oh my, I can't understand that. But there'll be a day when His life or yours is living. It won't look so bad to you then. When you know yourself, you got to turn back to the God that created you. You'll want to take Him in then. Let's take Him in now. Before the storm gets any worse than what it is. Now notice how. Our Brother Branham here, we made this little parenthesis on this occasion where he prayed for her. Notice, at that time, when she was in that condition, in other places, he says that he had prayed for that. But notice, God was allowing everything so that the glory of God would be manifested in the life of Sister Mera. And God was going to show that she would be healed by the spoken word. Now notice, they were reaching the final stage. That is, the time for the operation was coming up. The final preparations there to operate on her. All the processes were done. Let us continue here where I stopped, where our Brother William was saying that they were in those processes. And time was up to be operated on. God showed him everything when he prayed for her, despite being at a distance from one state to another. She was in Tucson, Arizona, and he was in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and he was praying for her that God would be with her and help her. He was praying for her. And the Lord said to him, whatever you say will happen. Notice that there wasn't a matter of praying for her, but of speaking the word. Whatever you say will happen. As you say it, it will happen. And he said, before the doctor places his hand on the tumor, let it disappear. And that's what happened. Now notice, here in that part where they placed the healing of the Reverend William Branham's wife, who had a malignant tumor in one of the ovaries, which was the fifth one that they put there, in that sentence, the part where it says malignant tumor, he underlined it and circled it a whole lot. And there he writes, she is a type of the bride of his time, having children. There above Reverend William Branham's wife. And above malignant tumor, he writes, a denominational spirit in the group. And above her ovaries, there he writes, Rebecca and Sarah, equal, uniness, and threeness, the two trees in the two pots, a dash, plums, and another fruit. Now notice on this message, desperation. Let us see something there that our Brother Branham tells us on page 17. He says, now Jacob thought, because that he had the birthright, that everything was made. So did the Pentecostal people. And above he writes, Jacob equals Pentecostals. So did the Pentecostal people, and they begin to organize the uniness, threeness, and Trinitarians, and all kinds of organizations, and fussing, and he circles fussing, and pulling at one another, prove that the token wasn't showing. If they fuss, the token isn't there. He wrote it to the right. Malice, envy, strife, see? But that's where he got to. Now, see, Jacob thought the same thing. But in fear one night of his own life, desperation took a hold of him. When he thought that, just across that river yonder, my brother is waiting to kill me. He's going to. See, the birthright that he had gotten was the thing that was going to cause his death. And sometimes that very thing that you receive as the Holy Spirit and are born again of the Spirit, if you don't watch, that same thing will condemn you at the end. That's right. The very water that saved Noah condemned the world. The thing that you would call fanatism might be the very thing that condemns you at the end of the road. And there he writes to the left, what you judge as fanatism will condemn you in the end. And here at the front, he also writes, what you judge as fanatism might be the very thing that condemns you at the end of the road. Also in the message, why little Bethlehem? Let us see. Here on page 28. It says on paragraph 144. If a man abide in me and I in him, if ye abide in me and my words in you, abiding, not just jumping from place to place and swapping your fellowship cards from a uniness to a two-ness and a three-ness and back to a Presbyterian Lutheran, ye abide in me and he is the word. My words abide in you. Don't be afraid of 800 or 8 million. I'll stand by your side. I'll desire to drink from that well again. And he writes, in the second coming. And to the right he writes, I'll stand by his side. And also to the left he writes, I desire to drink from that well again. God's going to have a people that will drink from that well. And there he writes, there will be a people who will drink from that well. From which well? From the second coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. You might think I'm crazy, and maybe I am. Then I'm crazy about Jesus Christ and His Word. If I have to be called a fool, let me be called a fool for His Word. I've never been against the men in them organizations. I'm against that system that bearings the Word of God out. Let's cut, warriors. Stand by us. Let's go into that well. He is our Bethlehem. There he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And to the left he writes, him. These old cisterns, the World Council of Churches organizing now. Let's restore the fresh word of God. Not a denomination. Let's not take a creed. That's old stagnated cisterns that fell 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. There he writes, 1962. 30 years ago, or either last year. I want God's word that's promised for today. And there he draws to the right side a cornerstone. That's the drink he wants me to have. This word today. It's a little Bethlehem. It's rejected. At the top he writes, water equals the word promised for today. He also writes, Bethlehem equals the word promised for today. It's, I know, it's just like you think. Well, if my, yes, that's right. They thought he should be born in Jerusalem. They thought he should be born where their denomination heads was. But he turned by all that. he come to the name of Bethlehem, for that's what he was. Hallelujah. He's not coming for Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, or Pentecostals. He's coming, and he writes through, he's coming for the bride, Jesus Christ. That's who he's coming for. It may seem strange to you, but believe it. Now notice. What that represents at this time. It is that tumor that the church has, which is removed by the spoken word. Before the storm gets stronger, may that tumor be removed from the group of our brother Branham. May that church be healed and return to the Word. And may they believe it. That is my petition. It is a spoken word. Now notice how that group has to come in at this time before the 144,000. Everything is intertwining for every group. But there is a group of the seventh age that will come in, that will come up. And there is also a number. In other words, they have to enter through the door of the second coming of the Lord. And they will enter at this time. Now notice, right below that, he writes, Joseph equals Jesus coming with his group today. In other words, right there, where he had written about the tumor, what we read there, of which we had already read it in a writing. We had already read it. But so that it is here as well. Look, in this writing, he also writes, hope, who was the first wife of Brother Branham. A dash, and he writes, the dead in Christ. Billy Paul, and he doesn't write nothing there. Sharon Rose, he writes, the dead in Christ. That is the one that died in Christ. Meta, the church bride in the seventh age. And then in the gap between the seventh age and the eighth age and eternal age of the cornerstone. Rebecca dash church. Sarah dash church. Joseph equals a type of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now notice everything that the family of Brother Branham represents, which each one of those definitions shows the work that God carried out in the ages and the one that he is carrying out at this time, what he represents, and also shows what's still left to be done. Because she was healed. Now notice, our brother William continues to say, notice he didn't pray. He wasn't praying or laying hands on her. He was at a distance. He was in Jeffersonville and she was in Tucson. Rather, he spoke that creative word. He spoke the tumor out of existence. And that's how it happened. and before the doctor laid a hand, it disappeared. She felt that manifestation in her. But notice, he had already spoken it during the night, and in the morning the next day, she obtained the results. Because the word was, before the doctor laid a hand on her, in other words, when the doctor went to put his hand, the tumor disappeared then. And another one, and here he goes to the fifth one, and another one of the occasions, one when he spoke squirrels into existence. He went to hunt squirrels and there were no squirrels. And God reminded him on the passage of Mark, if you have faith and say to this mountain, move from here to there, it will move and nothing will be impossible. He doesn't say if you pray for God to move it, but if you say to this mountain. God reminded him of that scripture. And he says to him, how many squirrels do you want? Brother Branham tells him 5. And then the Lord says to him, the angel says to him, well, say where you want them. Speak the word. And he started. He spoke that one should appear in such and such a place. It appears, and he hunted it. And he went and got it. He saw that was bleeding. And he says, it's not a vision because visions don't bleed. In other words, to him, it was a new experience in the first occasion, because that was repeated many times. Let's say about 3 or 6 times or so on in different occasions. In the message, I have heard, but now I see, he narrates, let's read a little there so you can see how was that experience that Brother Branham had there. Let's look on page 20. It says, Moses, a prophet, knowing he had access to God, was inspired and he said, stand still and you'll see the salvation of God. For the Egyptians you're looking at today, you'll never see them again. How did he know it was going to happen? How did he know? He didn't know what he spoke. There to the right he drew a Star of David. But as immediately after he spoke it, God told him how to do it. Said, Moses, don't cry to me. Take your staff. And there he drew another Star of David on the right. Take your staff in your hand and stretch it out over the sea until the children of Israel walk. Amen. And to the left he writes, the staff equals the word. Amen. The inspiration, that's the way it strikes you if you're sick. That's the way it strikes you if you're afflicted. Something's revealed to you and you see that it's being revealed. You speak up, I'm healed. There he writes, speak what's been revealed. And he drew a Star of David. Then God tells you what to do. Rise up and start walking. Amen. Then it's all over. When you can do it that way. That's the way God does it. Then you see God manifested through yourself. And he drew another Star of David to the right. It was God that told him to do it. Now then, all that was present, all of Israel that was present, saw the inspiration that struck Moses. They seen God with their own eyes blow that water back from one side to the other, and that pillar of fire led them right across the sea. He heard of God, then they seen God. He writes the pillar of fire to the left. Joshua was in an hour of crisis when the armies was routed and the sun was going down. Joshua was a prophet. There he writes Joshua equals the prophet. And he knew that if the armies ever had a chance to unite again and come against him, he would lose more men. So in that hour of crisis, when something had to be done, there's only one thing. If he could keep them running, he'd rout them, everyone, down. But there wasn't enough light to do it. So Joshua stood, raised his hands. He said, son, stand still. and moon hang over Ayalon till I get through with this battle. And the sun stood still. And there he drew Star of David to the right. The sun stood still. They heard Joshua speak. And then they seen God with their own eyes in action. True? See, of course, it was a paradox to see something that seems to be impossible, yet it's true. But the sun stood still, says the Bible. I don't know what you people think that thinks the world was run now, but anyhow the sun stood still. Perhaps Joshua never had tried to figure out how he was going to do it, how God was going to do it. The only thing that he said was, sun, stand still. He said it, perhaps not knowing what he was saying, because it was God that gave it to him. And he worked. Same thing in Mark 11:23. If you say to this mountain, there he writes, Mark 11:22-25. Same thing in Mark 11:23. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said. But you can't stand there, fumble in your mind, and say it. You've got to be inspired to say it. Amen. Now notice, he writes there, to speak the word and for it to happen, you've got to be inspired by God. May God inspire all of you, all those that are listening to me, on this place and in every place where my voice is heard. May God inspire the elect, the bride, at this end time. And may God do the work. Excuse the expression, but that day, sitting there in that woods, and God's my judge, and I could fall dead on this pulpit, when that scripture has spawned me all my life. Which scripture? Mark 11. Sitting there that morning in the woods, I was thinking on that, and that voice spoke to me, he said. That scripture is like all scriptures. It's true. And I thought, well, how could it be? And he said, he said, speak and it will be that way. Don't doubt it. He drew a cornerstone to the right. And to the left, he drew a Star of David. And I was talking to somebody, sitting way out in the woods, no squirrels, been there for 3 days. His circles, 3 days. There is no squirrels there. And I was sitting there in a sycamore thicket. Squirrels don't even come. Anyone that hunts squirrels knows they are not in sycamore. And I had been sitting there. And wind blowing real hard. About 10 o'clock in the morning. And I was thinking again. And it said, you're hunting and you need squirrels just the same as Abraham needed a ram. I thought, that's always told me the truth. But this sounds funny. And I got up from where I was sitting, look all around, where is that person that was talking to me? Nothing. Wind just blowing real hard. And I thought, could I have fell asleep and dreamt that? No, I wasn't asleep. I was sitting up against the tree there. Now there is where he writes, the creation of squirrels, the spiritual food for the age of the cornerstone, in the dispensation of the kingdom, by the spoken word of the gospel of the kingdom, with the rapturing faith. The creation of squirrels, the spiritual food for the age of the cornerstone, in the dispensation of the kingdom, by the spoken word of the gospel of the kingdom with the rapturing faith. No, I wasn't asleep. I was sitting up against the tree there, watching, supposed to pick up Brother Wood and Brother Sutman back there just in a little bit, around 10 o'clock in the morning. Farmers all out there working, gathering their corn. And I heard it again say, you are hunting. And you need game. How many do you need? there he drew a Star of David to the left. And I thought, now, I don't want to overdo this. I'm just going to ask for three squirrels. I want young three red squirrels. I want them. That is, with all the specifications. I want them red and I want them young. He said, then speak about it. God's prophet there is being inspired. And I said, I'm going to get three young red squirrels. Just like today's elect of God will say, I'm going to get my eternal and glorified body young. That is already a spoken word. That cannot be taken back. You will be transformed because you have believed that promise. Well, I thought, I went this far. There is something talking to me here. He says, there he draws where it says, he said, then speak about it. He draws Star of David and he writes, speak. Just the same as you hear me talking. In other words, like that, that way, was the way that he was hearing it. It was a conversation that he had there. Just the same as you hear me talking. And God in heaven, with this Bible over my heart, knows that that's the truth. And he said, well, I picked out a ridiculous place, an old dry limb hanging out there about 50 yards where my rifle was shot in, and said the first one will be right there, and there he was. I rubbed my eyes and looked back. I turned my head and I thought, I don't want to shoot a vision. So I look around again, and there sit the squirrels. In other words, he rubbed his eyes, he turned around. When he looked again, the squirrel was there. I throwed a shell up in my gun, aimed up, and I could see his black eyes, young red squirrel. And I thought, maybe I'm sleeping. I'll wake up in a few minutes. See, I'm dreaming about this. Well, I leveled down, shot the squirrel, and he dropped off the limb. And I thought, well, I don't know. I thought, well, should I go over and look for it? And I walk over there, and there it laid. I picked it up, and blood ran out of it. A vision don't bleed. This is what Brother William was telling us. A vision don't bleed, you know, so I picked it up, and it was a squirrel. And to the left, he drew a Star of David. I got real numb all over. And I look around, I said, God, that was you? I said, thank you for this. Now I'll go out and... He was leaving then. Now I'll go out with this one, I'm leaving. He said, but you said, do you doubt what you said? You said you get three. Now, he said three. So all three of them had to appear, and the prophet had to speak all three. One wasn't enough. Because he said to him, whatever you say, how many do you want? And he said three. So he had to speak all three. Now, where will the next one come from? I thought, well, if I'm dreaming, I'm going to continue on. I said, I picked out an old post over there of a tree that was all wrapped up with here poison ivy. You never get a squirrel in that. So I said, the next one will come right out of that poison ivy. And there said that young red squirrel looking right at me. I set my gun down. I rubbed my eyes. Turned around again. And I thought, there he said. Turned his head sideways. I shot the squirrel, and then I started to go home. And there he read, the creation of squirrels. He wrote it to the right side, but said, he was leaving. He said, you said three. Do you doubt what you said? I said, no, Lord, I don't doubt what I said, for you're confirming. This is one scripture that stumped me. Not if I say, but if you say. Not if Jesus said it, but if you say it yourself. and I thought, somehow I've broke into that channel. And I know he's here because I'm almost beside myself. And I thought, I'll make this one ridiculous, sure enough. And he draws a Star of David there, and he writes, the channel. Then he writes, Mark 11:22-23. Oh, may we all enter into that channel. May we find ourselves in that channel. I said, there'll be a red squirrel come down of that hill, come right down this way and right by me and go out and sit on that limb and look down there at that farmer. Now he's putting it, a squirrel not only young, red, but also obeying him. That is making gestures and looking at the farmer. That's already dominion over the animal. Here he come down the hill, went right out, and sat, look at the farmer, and I shot him. Satan said to me, there the enemy begins. You know what? The woods is just full of them now. And I sit there till 12 o'clock, and not another thing happened. It goes to show that when God, He is the very creator of heavens and earth. And there he writes, the creation of squirrels. He brought it to the left upward. Now, all of that is the example of what he said. What you have seen partially will be manifested in the fullness of its power when the squeeze comes down. He tells us in the book of quotations in an excerpt. Now, our brother William continues to say, now, on those different occasions, notice, he spoke the word. He said, let a squirrel appear there. It appeared, he hunted it. And the angel said to him, and now, where do you want the other one to appear? And so he chose a difficult place, where it wasn't common for the squirrels to be. And then he said, let it appear in that tree. And it appeared. He hunted it. He went to look for it, and it bled. That is the creative word that created the heavens and earth, now being placed in a man, to give us an example of what God will do in this end time when He adopts a messenger that He has in His program to adopt at the last day, a dispensational prophet, the prophet of the dispensation of the kingdom, who will eat the title deed, and therefore he will be restored to everything that Adam and Eve lost in the fall, and it will be the first occasion in which Jesus Christ adopts a human being. And then he will adopt the rest of the members of his church who have departed and those who are alive in this end time. But that adoption will begin with someone. Now notice how God gave us the example through the Reverend William Branham, just as he also gave us the example through Moses, and through Jesus, and through Elijah, and other prophets. But in the Reverend William Branham, the sample of what God will do at this end time was more prominent. Now notice, there is a sign which, when it takes place, those ministries, in that time, notice what he tells us here. In this message, the sign for the unbelieving generation. Preach on April 4th, 1999. Here, in Puerto Rico, it says, and there also will be another sign that will have to do with death and resurrection, which will be the sign of the death and resurrection of the two olive trees, according to Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 to 7. And that sign will even be seen on television. But with that sign that they will see, it will not be for their salvation. With that sign of the resurrection will come such a great earthquake that thousands of people will die. It says that about 7,000 will die there in the city, and it is unknown how many more will die throughout the world if the whole world shakes, as it happened with the crucifixion of Christ, when there was a great earthquake where the stones opened and there was a resurrection. But let us leave that sign alone there, because that sign will be seen by the unbelievers. But when that happened, remember, the two olive trees will already be adopted. That is why that resurrection can take place. Notice, it is the messenger in whom, after Jesus, he will be the next messenger who, while being alive, will be able to lay down his life and resurrect after 3 days. No messenger after Jesus has fulfilled that. Only the last messenger, the messenger of the dispensation of the kingdom. Just as Christ was already adopted when he died and then he could resurrect. When he resurrected in an eternal and glorified body, and there he could not die anymore. One doesn't obtain a glorified body to die, because in the glorified body there is no sin. Therefore, by making himself sin in the first coming of the Lord, he was able to lay down his life on the cross. Let's leave that little part alone there, since that is for another stage. Let us make good use of our time in this pre-adoption part, seeing the sign of this end time, recognizing them, and thus being aware and prepared to be transformed in this end time. Now notice, he in a writing, there he writes, no religious leaders prophesied, said that he would die and would resurrect after 3 days. In his first coming, the only one who spoke like that was Jesus. And in his second coming, the instrument is the only one who has said that after 3 days he will resurrect. Revelation chapter 11. The coming of the Son of Man with his angels, that is with the ministries of Moses and Elijah, which is the second person, other than all the religious leaders in the world, he will be the second person in addition to Jesus, who have said that after 3.5 days, according to the scriptures, he will resurrect. It is as simple as that. Now notice, in the book of quotations, on page 29, paragraph 244, there he shows us, in this excerpt, and the writing that he put there, where he speaks of these squirrels, it also says, Brother Branham speaks about the creations of squirrels. Something moved back and said, say what you will, and it shall be given to you. I said, Lord, are you changing my ministry? Is this the change you've been speaking of? If this what is coming to, is this what it will be? Something in that little house that I saw in the vision, is this it? Just then a real deep, sweet anointing of the Holy Spirit raised me, like, off of my feet and said, say what you will, and it shall be given unto you. Now there he, an arrow comes out, pointing down, because at the bottom in the corner he writes, the tent, and a cornerstone. In other words, he was raised, taken out of the earth, to a heavenly age, to the age of the cornerstone. I said, Lord God, if that be you, and this is a sign that you are fixing to change my ministry from those visions to something greater that I've looked for so long, I said, let it come to pass that you'll answer my prayer. I said, but there will be a red squirrel come out on the end of that limb and sit down there, and I shoot him from here. And there he writes, squirrels created and the tent. He wrote that at the bottom. And above he writes, Mark 11:21-23. The squirrels created. Say what you will, and it will be done. He continues to say, at one point, the Reverend William Branham stopped, and he didn't. Three dots. He already had a few squirrels, and the Lord says to him, how many did you ask for? Where did you want the other one to appear? Didn't you want five? And he continued to speak the word and continued to hunt squirrels where there were no squirrels. By the creative word, they came into existence and he hunted them. Just as the apostles caught fish where there were no fish. But Christ, by the creative word, spoke the word and said to cast the net to the right and they would find. Therefore he created them. And they caught them. Look in the message. Perfect faith. He tells us on page 22. Paragraph 149 says, now, when the same God comes to you and he pleased to dwell in you, pleased to honor your word, what your decision is, what was Joshua's decision? Stand still, son. And he stood there. Amen. Sure. What was Moses' decision? Held his stick over a river like that, then called for it to open, and it opened. See, whatever you ask. If you say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt, see, in your heart, but believe that what you've said will come to pass, you can have what you said. That puts you back in the Word. There is a part where he says, in some place, create worlds, something like that. And he writes to the right, God fulfills what we speak. And above that paragraph, he writes, Moses and Joshua spoke the Word. And he also writes what Jesus said would happen. And he said, if you say to this mountain, and there at the end of that, that puts you back in the Word, right next to that, after the paragraph, he writes, the spoken word. Now, that's not skim milk, see? It puts you back. I know it's going to jump right over top of you, maybe, see, because it can't anchor. But real, genuine faith catches that right now. And there he writes, is going to jump right over them. And he writes that twice. He also writes it to the left, going upward. I've seen it, friends. Here's this Bible laying open before me. I've seen it happen. And he writes, the spoken word. And I know it's the truth. I know God in heaven knows that I might not live through finish this message, but I know that it happened. I've seen it myself. I'm a witness of that word being fulfilled, that I know it is the truth. Say it. And stand there and see the Creator bring a living creature into existence right in the presence of your eyes. And that will also happen to every elect of God. Those who will resurrect will appear in front of our eyes. Our loved ones will appear in front of our eyes. And on top he writes, where should we be? You shake your head and wonder. And then look around and see him bring another one, just exactly like it. He's also speaking about the creation of the squirrels. Because you said so. And turn over here and say, there'll be another one there. And look, and there it is. Now, that's the truth. Oh, where should we be? There is perfect faith. No vision. Just speak the word. Never saw the squirrel. He just said the scripture, what it was, and speak it. And don't doubt it. But what you say, it'll be there. And I took God at his word. you take him at his word. If he said that, whatever you say, that'll be done. Accept God at his own word. And he was there. That's right. And friends, as your pastor, that's just as powerful as it was when Joshua stopped the sun. Because the sun was already there. The elements was moving. And he stopped the movement. But this, in other words, a case of the creation of squirrels, but this, he brought something there that wasn't there. He created. I'm so glad to be acquainted with the God that can take the dust of the earth someday without anything and call me back to life again. That same faith after I've been planted in the grave. Did you see that? In other words, that is the word being spoken by a prophet. And there he writes to the right side. The resurrection of Brother Branham. And such will be the resurrection of our brother William Soto Santiago. And such will be the resurrection of our parents, of our brothers, of our children if they have departed, of a loved one. It will be by the word being spoken to life. Where there is nothing, there will be no dust or anything, but by the spoken word, they will be brought to life. They will be resurrected in eternal and glorified bodies. A creation by the spoken word will be made for the resurrection to take place. And a creation of an eternal and glorified body will be made for our transformation. Our bodies will be changed, he says. Gray hair will go out. It will be a transformation that you will feel. The wrinkles will fall away. Oh, change in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. And he says, and we'll meet our beloved brethren. Now, in order to meet them, there must be a change in you. There has to be something that makes that dimension and that divine anointing come down and allows you to see them so that you are then transformed. Notice that there is a mechanism. There is a way. And there he writes, there was no vision. Just speak the word and the squirrels equals it's the third pool. Our brother William continues to say, now we can see what will be happening when the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the messenger of the age of the cornerstone and of the dispensation of the kingdom is adopted. And there will come the adoption for all the elect of God of this end time, and we will all have restored what Adam and Eve lost in the fall. And the church as a mystical body of believers will have all the power that the church lost in past times restored. All that power that was seen manifested in the apostles will be restored to the church, where he spoke and said that the apostolic days would return. And all the power that Adam and Eve lost will be restored in and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will all be restored to eternal life with eternal bodies. And in this message, there is a man here who can turn on the light on page 38. There he tells us, now watch. Listen close. Get on your three dots. I pray that God will open your hearts and your mind to understand so that you'll understand without saying it's too much here. Notice, he said one day, let's see some of the great work he done. Let's just stop for just a couple of things. Let's think. One time he said, you feed them something to eat. They said, we have nothing. Said, what have you got? Bring me what you've got. And they said, we have 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them to me. And he took them original 5 barley loaves and began to break the loaves. And from the original, he made bread. It fed 5,000. Is that right? Then he said, and he got a fish, hand me the fish. And it was a fish to begin with. And he took off that fish, another fish, and another fish, and fed 5,000. Is that right? But in the last days, he had nothing. And he writes, the thunders weren't written. He just spoke, and he writes, thundered. Spoke and said, say you'll be there. And he was there without anything in it. And he writes, the revelation of the thunders came without having anything to base it on. He never had a squirrel. There was none there. He just said, let there be, and there was, see? Oh, his word is infallible, and it has to be fulfilled. And there to the left he writes, the squirrels equals the seals, the thunders, the loaves, and the fish. I could tell you things that would shake you, see? It's there when he says it's there. Let him say it. See? Just exactly. See? The east, the west, here has come back and met the east. It was Moses even picked up sand and said, let there be fleas, and so forth like that upon the earth. In other words, he took dust. Let there be fleas. But in this last day, he doesn't take anything. See? Just the word. Let it be, and it is. And he writes, squirrels, speak. And he writes to the left, east and west. Let it be, and it is. What is said, that's the way it'll be. I want to testify of some of those things tonight, see? See? Of what's happened. That you can see he's still God. His words cannot, three dots. These works that I do shall you also. And greater than this shall you do. I took a fish to make a fish. You don't even have to have a fish, see? He is still God. He is still the same Son. The same Son of God that took a fish of a fish, it's the same Son of God today. These works that I do shall you also. Even greater than this will you do. It's magnified. Greater than this shall you do. And people refuse to see it. Mm-hmm. Greater works. And there he writes, look into Jesus. Now, Brother William continues to say here, that is why it's so important to be hearing the great voice of the trumpet at the last day Exodus. Because all those blessings come to those who will be hearing the great voice of the trumpet, the voice of Christ in the Exodus of the last day. And there is also a writing that he left us in a notebook where he says, eagle food. The food of the eagles of the last day. The eagle kills and eats. The squirrels created by the third pool manifested in William Myron Branham. And above that, he writes, the eagle prophet, which he hunted and ate them cooked. That is a type and figure of the word revealed under the third pool. It is spiritual food for the prophet, the message of William Myron Branham and his group, and for the messenger of the last day and his group, along with everything that God reveals at the last day through his eagle messenger for his people. And below he writes, rabbit, dash for the age. Chicken, dash for the Pentecostal age of Laodicea. But notice the squirrels is that hidden manna. Is the word being brought, being created, which are the thunders. The manifestations of the power of God. We have seen in some places, because there are so many places where we have been told about these manifestations of the power of God, where Brother Branham spoke about everything that happened to him in each one of them and how it was. And we have touched on some parts so to see what at this end time all that would be magnified and without limitations. The manifestations of the power of God. Let us stand and this way we can sing a hymn. I don't know if you already had. They had prepared the one that we sung there in Brazil. Your mercy reach me. If the director there can call the person who prepared it. I don't know if Sharon prepared it. We can sing that song. And in this way, we glorify God on this occasion and thank Him for His word that He has given us. Your mercy reached me. It is a joy and a great privilege to be able to receive the Anointed One, the Messiah. At this time, your mercy reached me. For it pleased you this way. It is the Anointed One, the Lord. It is the great I Am, giving us the rapturing faith and transformation. I receive the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. I receive the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. It is the Anointed One, the Lord, the great I Am, giving us the rapturing faith and transformation. I receive the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. I receive the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. Be sincere with the Lord. And say to Him, I have received you, Lord, in your second coming, as the fulfillment of what you promised that would be in the midst of the church, and would be what would give the church bride, what would give me the rapturing faith. I have seen your glory, Lord, manifest yourself, Lord, and my eyes were opened, and I see what the fourth Elijah saw. I have seen your glory, Lord, and my eyes were opened, and I believe what the Archangel Gabriel announced. Thank you, Lord, because I believe in God's voice of trumpet, in His second coming, in our Anointed One today. Blessed is He that comes in the name of the Lord. I receive our Jose as my claimer. Thank you, Lord, because I believe in God's voice of trumpet, in His second coming, in our Anointed One today. Blessed is He that comes in the name of the Lord. I receive our Jose as my claimer. I receive our Jose as my king, as lion. I receive our Jose as my claimer. Are you willing to identify yourself by raising your hand? We have all accepted the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord. Whosoever shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father. But whosoever shall deny me, I will also deny him. That was in the first coming of the Lord, and that is in the second coming of the Lord. The pillar of fire was seen in a tent. This is the tent. He was seen in a place where there were people. This is the people. He wanted to come down to that place. We came down and we are here. We are the ones. We are the people He saw that would be receiving in His coming. The pillar of fire, if you have it there. Enter into the channel. Just yield yourself. Let go of the pride, the boosting, the arrogance, and surrender to Him, and let Him work in your life. How could you desire and want the transformation and long for the transformation if you don't receive Him, if you don't open your door to Him, if you don't say to Him, Lord, take all unbelief away from me. I just want to see you. I want to look beyond. Let me see you. And He will show you that He is there. Just surrender yourself to Him, because it is the pillar of fire. The pillar of fire, which spoke to Moses from that bush, which went with Israel through the wilderness, and parted Jordan for them towards freedom. The pillar of fire, which was with Joshua before his people, the one who fought and overcame with his great strength, and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in his angel messenger, he's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He is God himself, the great I Am. Little by little, we are going into a stage where you will have to make a decision, because this is an individual affair. Whose side are you taking? To which tree are you eating from? I'm eating from the tree of life. I'm taking sides with the Anointed One, where the pillar of fire is. The work is Him, and it is done by Him, and it is for Him. We are His instruments. The pillar of fire, which will fill this great temple with glory, the one that will perform miracles and wonders, is becoming incarnate in our lives. The pillar of fire, which was in Joshua before his people, the one who fought and overcame with his great strength, and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in his angel messenger, he is here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He's God himself, the great I Am. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in His angel messenger. He's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through His instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He's got Himself, the great I Am. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The YHWH, who, in His first coming, was known by the name of Jesus. But when He ascended into heaven, He received a new name. And He said that in His coming, He would come with a new name. It is the claiming name. And just like in order to obtain that theophanic body, it was required. It was a requirement to believe in His coming. And under that name of redemption, it is a requirement for the transformation to believe in His second coming and in His claiming name. God has made it simple. May God continue to put us in that channel. And may the anointing of the Holy Spirit and His love be fully poured out upon the church bride. And may He continue to prepare us to obtain that promise of our transformation. In that manifestation of the power of God. And the world will see in 30 to 40 days what an adopted child and children of God is and are. Children of God with eternal and glorified bodies, which we will get a good taste of it here on earth, and then we will go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The five manifestations of the power of God. I long for all those blessings upon everyone who is here. May you all receive them. It doesn't matter if you are still chewing with your back teeth and you're trying to understand or comprehend. I desire that none of you be hypocrite. I long for you to be sincere. Be sincere with God. And don't be around for the sake of appearances. God is watching you. And you can't hide from Him. May God continue to help us to be sincere with Him. And may the church here in Puerto Rico be sincere with the Lord. And be in the channel and in line. So that He may continue to work as He has been doing. But we still have ways to go. We must keep pressing until we reach that church that the Reverend William Branham saw. And likewise, in each place that is hearing this broadcast on this occasion, and those who will later on read this conference, this chat of this occasion. The manifestations of the power of God. Let us leave with us right away our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.